Greetings. In the precious name, sweet name, powerful name of Jesus, we're glad to be here with you in Indiana again. I want to express our gratitude for you. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for loving us, caring for us over the years. I want to say again that I feel like we are forever indebted to you as brothers and sisters here in Indiana. And any service that we can render is but our reasonable service. It's very reasonable for us to do what we can. Do we have a step ladder here or no? This morning, I would like to start by asking us some questions. I've been very greatly blessed already being here. If you're a preacher, you'll understand what I'm about to say. But almost every song this morning spoke of the very thought for the message on my heart. And maybe that's because that's where my mind is going and that's what I'm picking out of the songs as we were singing them. And not that every song has to go and line up with the thought of the preacher and what he's going to speak about, but it is a blessing when that happens. Very, very blessed with the song service this morning. And I had to ask myself the question as we're singing. Actually, I sang maybe 50% of the time. The rest of the time I listened. There was a lifting up of the voice in song this morning that I don't recall the last few times that we were here. There was a volume that was louder than what I recall, and my heart rejoices in that, because when God's people are doing well, not that singing is the ultimate gauge, but generally speaking, if God's people are doing well, they sing better too. They sing louder. So I'm encouraged this morning. I realize that doesn't tell me where you're at. I'm still going to ask the questions that I want to ask in the way of just stimulating our minds this morning. Questions that I think are good and healthy for us to consider. Question number one, how is your walk with God? Now that's not necessarily an easy question to answer. But it's good for us to ponder. How is my walk with God? We can get all caught up thinking about somebody else's walk. But how's my walk? What is your relationship with God like this morning? What does it look like? Is it a close, intimate relationship? Are Are you living excitedly for Jesus? Is there a holy fire burning within you that compels you, that drives you, that motivates you? Is there excitement in your walk with God? Are you glad to be living for Him? Do you love to serve Him? Are you living the Christian life with purpose, with determination? They're really all one question. How is my walk with God? For an introduction, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We were one chapter away this morning, brother, when you opened up. I would have rejoiced, as I said about the songs fitting my thoughts, I would have rejoiced if you would have went right to Revelation 11. I would have rejoiced. Revelation chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemy. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entereth into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God, to the God of heaven. There is much that we could say here about these two witnesses, these two prophets. Much could be said. But the two witnesses is not the focus this morning. I don't plan on preaching an end time message. But I do want to preach a message of encouragement that will take us not only to the end times, but also through the end times. All the way to glory where these two witnesses went. Why am I using this text if I don't plan on preaching a message on end times? I read these 13 verses only because there is a three-word phrase that I want to catch our attention. It's in verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, "Come up hither." Are you a child of God this morning? God is calling each one of us up hither. Where are we this morning? How is our walk with God? This floor, the level of this floor this morning is going to represent this earth, this planet that we live on. Is this where we're living? I mean, physically, yes, I know we are. This is where we are. This is where our feet touch. This is our base. But is this where we're living? Is this where we should be living? Is this what we should be living for? The call that the two witnesses heard after they were revived again was, "Come up hither! Come up higher!" The call of God this morning to us is, "Come up hither! Hither! Higher than that! Higher, 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 until you meet with Jesus." Come up hither. The a three-word invitation. Come up hither. Can you see Jesus standing there and saying to you, "Come. Come up hither. Come up hither." Don't stay where you are. Don't go away, but come up here. Come and live with me. Now for them, it was very real. They went up, and the soles of their feet, I don't think, ever touched the ground again. They went up. But I want to make an application this morning, a spiritual application, that we ought to be living up there, even though our feet are touching here. We ought to be. I couldn't help but think, and through part of the song service, no, sorry, through part of the opening, I went here into John 17. And I just want to draw out some facts. We know John 17. We know this to be the prayer that Jesus prayed just before he was crucified. Now listen to the statements that he makes. He says, "And now I am no more in the world." He is praying to God. He says, "And now I am no more in the world." Where was Jesus when he was praying that prayer? His feet were touching the earth, planet earth. But he was not living for the earth. He was not living for the things of the earth. He says, "Why? I am no more in the world." Where was he in his spirit? He was already going back where he came from. Was he not? Physically, though, he was still there, but mentally, he was no longer here. And brothers and sisters, the call is for us to come up hither, to go up higher than planet Earth. Higher! Well, now I am no more in the world. He goes on, he prays, "Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Jesus is calling us. He is desiring. I mean, yes, here he is specifically praying for the disciples that were walking with him at that very hour. But his heart was that, "Father, keep them through your word, that we will be united, that we will be one. That they will be one with you and me, with us." Jesus has a desire that we would rise up. Verse 13, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world." Acknowledging, yes, I'm still in the world. Though he said, "I am no longer in the world." Yet he's speaking these things in the world. Verse 12, "While I was with them," he says. Speaking in past tense terms. Yet presently was with them. What do you think this world would say? What kind of reaction would we get if we as Christians actually, spiritually, started experiencing more of not living in this world? Though we're here, but we're really not here. And you go to a bank, or you go to the person at the gas station or wherever, and they ask, you know, "How's your day?" And you start explaining what you're experiencing where you're living. They would start to realize, whoa, the Christians are a different group of people. God help us to rise up, to heed the invitation of Jesus. Come up hither. Come up hither. I am convinced that if we expect to be with him up there where he is, we must be making progress in that direction while we're here. We must apply ourselves today and heed that invitation to come up hither. A little higher. A little higher. A little higher. A little higher. A little higher until we meet with him. For all eternity, to be forever with the Lord, moving in that direction. Are we going higher? Are you going higher? How is your walk with God? Jesus goes on, he prays for the future believers. He prays, Father, as you have sent me into the world, so send I them into the world. We're supposed to be here. Presence. Our presence is supposed to be here. Our witness is supposed to be here. But we're living up there. Does that make sense? Our witness, our presence is here. Our feet are on the ground. But the witness that we're showing off here is coming as a result of living up here. Amen? Higher ground. The title of the message this morning is Higher Ground, Lord, Higher Ground. Is that our cry? If we're a believer this morning, we are. We're somewhere. We should be. He rescued us. He saved us. So we should be spiritually somewhere on our way up. And it doesn't matter where we're at this morning. But we should be up from down there. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he refers to the Christians, he says, you are the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. You're not down here. Yes, you are, but you're not. Just like Jesus was, but was not. You're a city set on a hill. So it doesn't matter this morning where we are. Are we purposing in our heart to go higher? We live in a day where people think it's okay to go back down. And some people have made shipwreck going backwards. They find themselves again entangled with the affairs of this life that Paul warned Timothy about. He said a good soldier does not entangle himself again with the affairs of this life. Today, many Christians are. They're, instead of going up, they're going back down. And they get ensnared. They start living for the things of the world again. You may never hear it or know it because of their profession. Their profession may not change. But reality says they look like the world. They act like the world. They like the things of the world. They find great pleasure in this world. God help us to go up. Higher, Lord, higher. Amen? Lord, higher. Higher yet. The two witnesses, the scripture says, they went up into heaven. Higher. Higher and higher. In my mind, and I don't have all these scriptures here, so I'm paraphrasing, and I knew we're going to run into a problem this morning. I knew it in my own mind before we got here. But that's okay. If we get nothing else covered, then and we take nothing else with us from this morning's service, other than the fact that we purpose to go up higher. We get nothing else but the invitation that Jesus says, come up hither, and we purpose to do so. That's all that matters. Higher, Lord, higher. Can you imagine with me when Jesus was taken out of the world after his resurrection and the 40 days of walking with his disciples, and they're gathered together, and the disciples, they see Jesus starting to leave this world. As the scripture there in Acts says, they watched. They looked until they could see him no more. And I say, Lord, higher with me. Lord, take me onto higher ground. Until this world cannot see me anymore. It's when the world can't see me, but they can see Jesus, that I'll have an effective, powerful witness on this earth. God help us! We think today, some people think today, some people even preach it and teach it. You must become like the world in order to win the world. I tell you, no, we must be like Jesus. The scripture says that we shall be changed from glory to glory to glory. How does that happen? I tell you how it happens. It's by going higher. It's by heeding that invitation to come up hither. In John 17, Jesus prays, yes, he acknowledges that they are in the world, but not of the world. There's a difference. We're of him. We're living with him. We're living on a different spiritual planet. And we're reflecting Christ while our feet are on this earth. That is what will make us powerful witnesses. Even as these two witnesses were powerful. Well, that's the introduction. And I trust that our hearts are united this morning. Now we're all crying out, Lord, higher ground! Higher ground. I like to sing the song, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I think I looked it up in here and it was 381. Yes. Brother Melvin, can you lead that for us? Can we stand to our feet as we sing it? And I'd like to make a request that we sing it as a prayer. That we sing it out of a yearning heart. Regardless as to where we're at this morning, it doesn't matter if we're up here. Higher, Lord, higher. Amen.
Feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. To stay where doubts arise and fear dismay, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on
Lord, yeah.
Father, we're looking to you this morning. And God, we ask. We ask, God, that you would give us a desire to go onto higher ground. Father, we pray. Give us a vision. Give us a vision. A clear vision, Lord. Of what you have for your people. Father, I pray that this morning you would encourage us. In our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, to go to higher ground. Father, each one of us, we have to acknowledge we have not yet attained. We are still on this planet. But Father, give us grace to live in your realm, spiritually speaking, though our feet are upon this earth. May you receive glory and honor. Yes, Lord, much glory and much honor from our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3 says, I want to live above the world, even though Satan's darts at me are hurled. Brothers, sisters, the devil is down here. And the higher we go, the less chance he has to hit us with his darts. Amen? The closer we get to our Jesus, the less chance he has to hit us with a dart. Oh, he will try, and we will face obstacles because, yes, our feet are still here. They're still touching the earth. We're still up on this planet physically. But oh, in our mind, in our hearts, in our spirit, we're living up there. And the higher we go, as the songwriter puts it here, we begin to hear the singing of the choir up in heaven. What a motivation. Draw a little closer. You ever been gone somewhere? And you walk in and you hear some singing. But it's faint. But it's beautiful. And, whoa, I got to go find where this is. I got to go get a little closer. I want to be able to see. I want to be able to hear. You know, you're not content just walking in the door and you hear a little bit of, you'll faintly hear some singing. You want to get a little closer. It's a motivation to come on in. I believe that there's singing going up there, and the higher we get, the clearer we'll hear it. And it'll motivate us to get a little higher yet. A little closer. A little closer. God help us. God bring us to higher ground. Higher ground. Young people, there's more to live for. Much more to live for than what the stuff on this earth. Trucks, cars, fashion. There's nothing to live for. Absolutely nothing. The pride of life will all vanish away. Lord, help us to lay up treasures where moth and rust does not corrupt. Live for those things. Amen? Live for those things. Come up hither. Come up hither. And let's bring our families with us. Let's bring our families with us. Hither. A little higher. A little higher. And a little higher. A little closer to heaven. A little closer to Jesus. A little more like him. So regardless of what our past and present circumstances are or have been, we need to set our gaze on something higher. It may be pleasant. It may be very good. It may be have something we've really enjoyed. It may have been something contrary, something that brought us much pain and sorrow. Whatever the circumstance, pleasant or unpleasant, our gaze needs to be higher than the circumstance. Favorable or not. The song talked about a plateau. You know, we reach plateaus in the Christian life. But may we not be content on any plateau until we're face to face with Jesus. May that be our goal in this life. I believe that is the heart of God for His people. And if we will begin to live like that, if Christianity as a whole would begin to live like that, this world would once again be turned right side up instead of upside down being normal. You agree with that? Upside down living has become normal. It's acceptable. May God use us to turn this thing right side up again. But it'll only happen as we go higher and higher and higher and not settle for a plateau somewhere along the way. It doesn't matter where we are this morning. It doesn't matter which plateau we have found. We cannot, we dare not settle down. Gaining higher ground. In order to do that, we must arm ourselves with the mindset of a pilgrim. One that says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. Our vision needs to be way past circumstances. In Proverbs 29:18, we read, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. There's another translation that renders that verse like this: where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. So how important is vision to the Christian life? Clear vision. May God give us a clear vision of where He wants us to live. And may we purpose in our hearts to go there. Without a vision, we'll never get there. Never. We will not just somehow automatically coast through life and end up where God wants us. Will not happen. We must have a vision. We must have a goal. And we must purpose in our heart to go there. Where there is no vision, people wander aimlessly. Where there is no vision, the people fall apart. Where there is no vision, they go to pieces, both spiritually and morally. Consider your nation. We can consider Canada. When I say nation here this morning, we'll just lump them together. Just consider society where we find ourselves. It is drowning in moral decay. Babies are being murdered in the sacred womb of their mothers. Crime is climbing higher and higher and higher. Crime rates, that is. The use of drugs, the increase of violence, the use of alcohol, divorce rates, These are things that are plaguing our nation. Why? You look at the generation growing up, do you have any concerns? Do you have any concerns as you watch the young people of our day, this generation? With the lack of teaching, the lack of whatever they received, now they're bringing children into this world. Any concerns? I think we ought to be concerned. As a nation, I would dare say, though many would argue this, but I would dare to say, we have lost respect for God. It doesn't matter what the slogan is on the money. It doesn't matter what they stamp on the papers at the White House. It doesn't matter. Life shows that we have lost respect for God. And as Christians, we find our feet planted in this society. But this is not where we're living. If we're going to make a difference, if we're going to shed some light, we need to be living up there while our feet are down here. No respect for God. And not only is that true of society, it is true of much of what is called the Church of Christ today. No respect for God. People are saying and teaching, you don't need to have a fear for God. They would say, if you have a fear of God, then you don't understand the love of God. Really? What Bible are they reading? Where are they getting this? This is humanistic. This is not biblical. It's humanistic. It's human wisdom. It's human thinking. It's human reasoning. It's a human conclusion to make themselves feel good in whatever they are enjoying. Instead of fearing God, they say, just love God. How can you love God without a proper fear of God? Is that even possible? Is that possible? Reverence for God has gone down the drain a long time ago. Now, thank God, some still have it. Thank God there's an element of it still in our justice system. But overall, the justice system is corrupt. Sin and sin's lifestyle, they're flaunted today. They're paraded. Proudly paraded. Sin is exposed, it's put in the showroom, so to speak, with much pride. I think of this whole homosexual movement. They've gotten very, very bold. They're proud of it. And what is our government doing? They're saying, no, that's not sin. And if you will call that sin, we're going to put you in jail. We're going to fine you for saying that homosexuality is sin. They don't want to call that sin. They've redefined it now. They've redefined that sin and said it's just a lifestyle. And you can't judge it. Brothers, this is where we're living. This is where our feet are planted. These are the things we see. But if we're living up there on higher ground, we have God's perspective on these things. Amen? And we need to be living up there because I believe persecution is coming down upon the church. And we need to be living up here. We need to have God's perspective on these things. Otherwise, we will compromise. As much of the professed church today already has done and accepted this whole thing. And homosexuality is just one sin. We need God's perspective. The call of God for His people is come up hither. So you can see things from my perspective. If we as God's people are not striving for higher ground, we will succumb to the ways of this world. Guaranteed. In one way or another, we'll succumb to the ways of this world. The church has already become very soft. Very soft. And I am not saying we must always preach every Sunday. You preach against sin, 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 sin. But the church hardly preaches against sin anymore. For fear of the sinner. What's going to happen to many a church if they do not get a vision? If they do not encounter God? If they do not gain higher ground? What will happen? Are the doors going to close up and they'll just stop meeting? I don't think so. On the contrary, their houses are going to fill up and multiply. And the ones that are seeking to gain higher ground are going to decrease in number. They're going to stand alone. We will stand as the violator. Are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? Are we preparing ourselves for it? Are we gaining higher ground? Are we striving for it? Do we have a clear vision of the call of God? None of us have attained. The Apostle Paul said, I have not yet attained. But, he says, I press on. I press on. Jesus said, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but he says in John 14, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. The works of Christ, and yea, can we even say the greater works than that which Christ did, are expected of you and me. Jesus says, greater things than these shall ye do. And I'm not here proclaiming what all that is. But one thing I know, it'll never be fulfilled in my life or your life, in our lives, if this is where we're living. We must be gaining higher ground. We must. Turn with me to Psalms 121.
David here. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. We sang a song this morning that had that verse captioned right there. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The psalm we sang, I think, pretty much captured all eight verses. The Lord is bigger. Right? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If he is greater, that means that he will also make us greater than all those in the world. Amen? We will. It is expected that his greatness will make us greater. Not in stature, not in fame. No, not in that way. But we will stand out. We will have power over the things that they struggle with. We'll have a power. David says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Picture that as a shepherd boy. Maybe by this time he wasn't even shepherding. Maybe by this time he was king. Maybe by this time he was being pursued by his son. I don't know, I didn't take the time to read the history of this psalm. But whatever it was, he was in distress. He was in anguish. And he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And I don't think he's just talking about some rolling hills. I think he's referring to the mountains. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, the mountains. Why? That way he's looking past his present circumstances. Amen? And by looking to the hills, putting his gaze up there, taking it off of the things down here, he finds courage. He finds motivation to go on. He finds purpose to keep going. He finds it in his heart as he looks past circumstances and he fixes his eyes on way up there, past the mountaintops. He forgets, so to speak, the circumstances causing him anguish. And he dwells with God in his spirit. And God ministers to him. David purposed in his heart to not stay focused on circumstances. David purposed to look up. And by looking up, he set his vision upon the one that could and would deliver him. Think for a moment the experience that the Apostle John had. You know, again, perhaps due to unfavorable circumstances, maybe someone here today can identify in a small way with the Apostle John. I guess if we could just simply ask the question, is there anyone here that finds himself lonely? lonely at times. You think John was lonely? You know, the Apostle John, he didn't have a pleasant experience in his old age. He did, but not in the flesh. John was in prison. History would tell us that they sought to kill him, but every attempt that they made failed. But that speaks of pain. That speaks of suffering. Every attempt. So they resorted to putting him in a vat of oil to boil him to death. Imagine that. A vat of hot oil, and they put him into that vat to boil him to death. But that failed too. Imagine how ugly he would have looked after everything he went through. He was probably marred and scarred beyond recognition, just as it was said of Christ. But he loved Jesus. See, his feet were here, but he wasn't living there. Amen? He wasn't living there. He was living with God. And so, every attempt fails. Last resort is, well, if we can't kill him, then let's ship him off to an island somewhere. So they do that. And it is there where God gives him a revelation, a vision, a very clear vision. A vision not given to any other man, ever. Daniel saw some of it. Isaiah saw some of it. Daniel longed, he loved, he wanted more. David saw some of it. But no man saw what John saw. Brothers and sisters, The closer we get, the higher we get, the clearer our vision. Amen? The clearer our vision. So on that island, he gets a vision, and they call him John the Revelator. And John sees things from God's perspective, much clearer than he ever had. He saw how bad things were. He saw what God was going to do about it. John was even able to see the reward of the righteous, of the faithful ones. John saw that. John did not run from his difficult city. Because it was really, really only his physical body that went through the difficult circumstances. In heart, in mind, in soul, in his spirit, he was with God. Perhaps John is the one human that could the most closely relate to the words of Jesus when he says, "While I was with them in this world, but now I'm no more with them." Really. I think John could get very close to saying some of the same things. But it's because he lived on higher ground and purposed to go higher and higher. And no persecution deterred him. It only drove him closer to his God. We could read quite a bit there in Revelation of his vision, and we don't have the time for that this morning. The question I have and the encouragement I have for us is, are we rising above circumstances? As I said earlier, whether they are favorable or unfavorable circumstances, circumstances are nothing to build on. Nothing to stand upon. It's an experience that has come and is gone. Praise God for some pleasant memories. But we don't build there. We don't live there. We don't stay there. That, if it's a favorable circumstance, we can say it's a plateau. But we must go beyond that. We must go higher. God is calling us higher. Consider Caleb for a little bit. Caleb, one of those faithful spies. He made this cry. He says, "Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain." By the way, how old was Caleb when he asked for that mountain? Anyone know? 85 years old. Do we have an 85-year-old here? Do we have anyone who's close to 85? How old are you? Stand up, brother. We'll add another 3 years to his life. And he cries out, he says, "Give me this mountain!" Imagine that. Wouldn't that excite us? It'd excite me if I saw an old man do that. I want to be that old man. Caleb made some pretty bold claims there in Joshua 14, I think it is. He made some pretty bold claims. He says, "I can still fight like those young men out there. My strength is still the strength of when I was young. Give me this mountain." Caleb could have been tired by now. Consider all that he went through. But he was not afraid. Young men, I believe, he's pretty courageous. I believe Caleb would have challenged any one of you to your physical strength. 85-year-old man! Want to put your strength to a test? Come here. Now the Bible says that the strength of young men is their... the glory of young men is their strength. You see some of that in Caleb at age 85. I don't think he was boasting. Where did it come from? Going higher and higher and higher with God. That's where it came from. Give me this mountain. Why was he after a mountain? I believe there's numerous reasons, but in light of what we're talking about this morning, I just would like to say this. Could it be because if you're on the mountain, you have a different perspective? Could it be that Caleb says, "Give me that mountain"? So that I have a clear vision, a clear perspective. I'll conquer anyone and anything that stands in my way on the way up. I'm not afraid. And when I get up there, I'll have a clearer vision. I love heights in that way. I love seeing things from a bird's eye view. It's beautiful. In a physical way, the world looks different when you're looking down on it. You get into a plane, a jet, and you just get a different view. spiritually speaking, the same is true. The higher we get, it changes our perspective. We get a clearer view. In a very real way, as Caleb had that mountain, and as he climbed that mountain, in a very real way, his feet were planted on higher ground. Spiritually speaking, that's what God wants for us. Are we striving for higher ground? God is calling us up hither. Come a little higher. A little higher. At least two times in the Gospels, we find of Jesus. It's the same account, I believe. No, it's not. Maybe it is. Sorry. I'm going to argue with myself here. Whether it's the same account or not doesn't really matter. Two times it is said of Jesus that he's walking with his disciples. One time was when they were entering the Garden of Gethsemane. And his disciples stayed there, and it says, and he went a little farther. A little farther. And he prayed. That little farther is saying the same thing to us. We're supposed to follow his example. We're supposed to go a little farther. It's the same thing as saying, come up hither. We sang the song, deeper, deeper, deeper. It's the same thing as saying, come up a little higher. A little higher. That is the call of God. It's time, brothers and sisters, to rise above circumstances if we're still there. It's time to go above whatever situation we find ourselves in. The psalmist said, I am going to lift up mine eyes. I am going to go up to the mountaintop. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. David chose to lift up his eyes unto the hills, the mountains. But he didn't stop once he reached the peaks of the mountains. He went beyond the mountain peak and he kept going higher and higher and higher until he met up with God. From whence cometh my help, he says. God. The Creator, he concludes. He didn't stop at the mountaintop. He looked way beyond the mountaintop. By looking way past the mountaintop, you got the right perspective. Higher, higher, higher. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Daniel, he prayed for 21 days. We read in Daniel 10. I need to bring this to a close here. Daniel 10, verses 12 and first part of verse 13. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Daniel purposed to go to higher ground. 21 days spent in prayer. And he faced some obstacles on his way up, on his journey. On that 21 days of prayer, he faced some obstacles. But he met with God. He did not stop until he met with God. And he did not meet with God down here. He met with God up there. I believe the same is true for us. The quest for higher ground is not always an easy journey. We will face obstacles. It's like the Apostle Paul. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These things will be an obstacle that we face from time to time. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? We can go up. We can get up higher. Job, another beautiful example of a man that rose way above his circumstances. He went higher than his circumstances. There is a fight. There's a battle to face along the way. Even just literally, Brother Bernie, you could tell us what it's like to climb a mountain. It's not easy. Anyone who's been to mountainous territory knows that you have to exert yourself. And without determination, you'll never climb that mountain. You'll go back down. The Christian life needs some exertion. We need to apply ourselves. It is an uphill journey. It is. But in the end, it's rewarding, isn't it? Higher ground. We have the beautiful promise here that God will not suffer your foot to be moved. That's what he told David here in Psalms 121. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God is awake. God is waiting. God is watching. God is for us. Are we for Him? Are we for Him? Are we willing to exert ourselves, to give it our all for Him? Are we determined to go onto higher ground? We have to stop. And maybe I'll close with a little story to illustrate what God would have for us. The story is told of a farmer. Him and his son went for a walk in the woods. And as they're walking, I'm sure they were talking, maybe talking about what needed to be done or what they had done and what they had accomplished. I don't know what they're talking about. But on their walk in the woods, they come up on a baby eagle. Helpless. Defenseless. So they pick up this eagle and they take it home with them. And on their farm, they had some chickens, so they put this eagle in the chicken pen. And this eagle began to eat the feet of the chickens. And it lived with the chickens. One day, a ranger stops in, and he asks the farmer, upon spotting the eagle, he says, Why do you have a young eagle among your chickens? And the story is told how they found this eagle, and the ranger says, this is not right. And he begins to talk to the eagle, and he says, you're an eagle! You shouldn't be in with the chickens. You're supposed to be soaring up there. And he takes that eagle and holds it on his hand. And he says, fly. Fly. And the eagle is not used to this. A little bit scared. And it jumps back down into the pen and mingles with the chickens. The park ranger says, this is not right. And he takes him up again. And this time he takes him and he puts him up on the peak of the roof of the chicken coop. I have no idea how high that was. And he says, you need to fly. You're not made to live with the chickens. You're not a chicken. You're an eagle. And again, the eagle makes its way down to the chicken pen and begins to eat the feet of the chicken. The ranger says, this is not right. This is just not right. This is not your home. This is not what you're created for. And he takes him, and he takes him up onto a mountaintop. And again, puts him out there. He says, you are made to fly. And as he's up there on the mountaintop, the story says that another eagle begins swirling around up there. And it catches the eye of this younger eagle. And he soars off. And he begins to do what that eagle is doing up there. Who knows? Did he ever return to the chickens? I don't know, but he stopped living there. We're not made for this world. Are we? Did God create us to live for this world? That's worse than an eagle living with chickens. God has created us for a higher purpose. To live with Him. The call of God, come up hither. Come up higher. Let's go, brothers and sisters. We sang this song this morning, Marching to Zion. That's an upward march. That's an upward journey. Let's go. Let's drop. You know, if we made ourselves home on a whatever plateau, it's not safe. It is not safe. It's dangerous. Let's drop what has made us feel at home and comfortable there, and let's go on higher. That dropping of things is called repentance. And then go on. May God help us.